The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. We pick up with Revelation chapter 3 in our study on the second coming of Christ, and we're looking to the church of the Laodiceans, that church where the people were ruling, speaking, and giving forth their judgment over and above the judgment of the Lord and His Word. We have come to the council of Christ for the church of the Laodiceans, Revelation 3, verse 17. Find your place there in the Word of God, and we'll begin the preaching after a word of prayer. Father, I pray now in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, Lord, that you would help me, give me grace to preach by, and may your Word penetrate the hearts of those who listen today, and may they truly be changed, both now and forevermore, that your word would affect their time and their eternity, their today, their tomorrow, their forevermore. Lord, thank you for first loving me. I say it often, but now I can love thee, and only because you first loved me. We ask our prayer now in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Revelation 3, verse 17. To the church of the Laodiceans. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. The Lord has already confronted the church, verse 15. He has condemned the church in verse 16. He now counsels the church in verses 17 and 18. In his prescription, he exposes their sins, the sin of arrogance, beginning with their words, continuing with their wealth. Their pride polluted them. Their pride had plundered them. They were not only arrogant, they were sinfully ignorant. They were stripped of all knowledge, perception, an understanding of what their true condition before God really was. Sin had blinded them just as it had Samson of old, whose eyes were gouged out because he laid his head in the lap of a wicked woman, lost his power, lost his perception, lost his purpose, was no longer useful in the work of God. So is this church. They needed an understanding of where they were before God. The Lord says, "Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor." They were spiritually bankrupt. They did not even know it. This church was rich in worldly possessions. They had need of nothing, but they were bankrupt of those spiritual possessions and spiritual perception, which is so needed by the church of God. As a church, they had lost their worth. They did not know it. Here stood a church that God could not bless nor use. He could work on them, though he could not work for them or through them. If they were cold, he could work with them. But they were not cold. They were wretched. They were worthless. They were actually under affliction, but they were too blinded by prosperity to see that God was calling them back unto himself. This church is in a most miserable condition, and itself stood in need of pity, compassion, and mercy. The church which had need of nothing was actually poor and possessed nothing. They were bankrupt of God's presence and of God's power. They had influence with the world, but they could not move God, not one inch, for they were without effectual and fervent prayer. They were standing in need of mercy, but felt they had need of nothing. No wonder Christ found nothing here which he could commend. He only offered counsel, and he only gave condemnation. The church was bankrupt. They did not know it. The church was spiritually blind, and they did not know it. He said not only were they wretched and miserable and poor, but blind and naked as well. They had lost their worth. They had lost their way, and they did not even know it. They were distressed by bankruptcy. The picture grows worse. They were distressed by blindness. The word for blind here means to be opaque, as if smoky. It comes from a word which means to be enveloped with smoke, or in so many words, to be inflated with self-conceit. And truly they were. They were living in the world's smog, and taking in the devil's lie that there was peace, peace, though destruction was headed for this world. If that does not describe the condition of churches today, apostate, living in the world's smog, taking in the devil's lie, feeling that all things are fine and all right, when all the while they are swiftly headed to destruction. They were living in that fog of materialism, that fog of ritualism. Let us be careful, brethren, that it's God's glory and not the devil's fog if there's to be smoke within the house of God today. Oh, that crowd that blacks out the ceiling, turns down the lights, and turns on the smoke machines, and then they call it praise and worship. But it's the contemporary music with the sensual way of singing, and it is of another spirit, the spirit of this world, and not the spirit of our God. Pride clouds the church's vision, the church's judgment. They're spiritually blind. They're without sight. They're naked. They're without sense. They're without shame. They have no spiritual sense to recognize their condition before God. They need our pity. They need our prayer. But their sins which are exposed could be expunged. And so he counsels them in verse 18, "Buy of me. Go to God and take your currency." What currency, preacher? Repentance. Humility. Come before God. Buy gold tried in the fire, and you'll be rich. Buy that white raiment of Christ, and you'll be clothed. The shame of your nakedness will be covered. Your eyes could be anointed with eye salve, and you could see. To do business with God, we must mean business with God. Come to him on his terms. Come to him in his time. Accept his gracious and generous offer, for his merchandise is incorruptible. His methods are impeccable, and our profit and our return on this investment will be incomparable, truly out of this world. God's cure for the church. Gold would bring them the true riches. That white raiment would bring them the true righteousness. The eye salve would bring them that true realization of spiritual things. God offered them the restoration of spiritual vision, of spiritual vitality, of spiritual victory. The same terms are offered today. There is correction for this church now. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If only men would repent, would turn to God from their wicked ways and words, and humble themselves before him, and allow him to change their life. This correction comes in love. As many as I love, I rebuke it and chasten. This correction comes with light. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God leaves no man in the dark. He tells them exactly what they must do if they would find their sins removed. Be zealous and repent. Zealous is a word for the lukewarm. To be zealous means to be on fire with a feeling for or against something. It includes ardency of spirit. The disposition they needed was one of not lukewarmness, but true warmth. To be on fire. To be boiling over and standing bold for the things of God. Light for their disposition. Light for their direction. They were to repent. There was to be a change of direction. They were to turn away from some things and turn toward God. Think differently. Have a change of mind concerning their sin. But then he offers communion for the Christian. Though things around us are growing darker and ever worse, God says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." The word is to the individual in this day. Open the door. Christ will come in. He will commune with you. He will sup with you and you can sup with him. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's Word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.